Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jacaranda FM, my in-studio guest through till midnight tonight, Craig Hines of Watershed, and a song called Sometimes by James. What a great band out of Manchester. They can't play football, but they can sing. No, I'm just kidding. It looks like Man United looking good these days. Huh? Are you into football? Which football team do you support? British.
British football team. What's your favourite team, Bob?
Everton.
Everton. No, so then it's not Everton. Wouldn't be Everton.
Liverpool?
It would be... I think I'll go for Man United.
Man United, yeah, okay. Yeah. Just because everybody likes Man United.
I quite like Arsenal as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not bad with the big guns there, I see. Hey, so, James, I totally forgot. While that song was playing, you said you hooked up with two guys. Well, you know the guys from the band James, and I thought you saw them live at Supersport Park with... a couple of South African bands, Springbok New Girls were there, and Smashing Pumpkins played. Mm. It was a brilliant evening. I think James stole the show that night. They were absolutely brilliant. Oh, Sir Down.
Yeah.
How did you meet the guys out of James? Because I know you moved to the UK. You stayed there for a while. Tell us a bit about James.
Yeah, it was. I was out there. I think we were working on the third album. It was. So that was back in 2007. No. 2005, the third album, and somehow I got hooked up with the guys from James and spent a lot of time with the keyboard player Mark Hunter and guitarist Saul Davies, and wrote with them for two tracks actually on the third album, which the one song was called Live Another Day, which was quite a big song for us. It was the first single off the third album. And it was during the World Cup, I think, in Germany, which would have been 2007, the German World Cup before ours. Yeah. And I think Live Another Day was a big one over there. So the video of Live Another Day was playing all over Germany, which was really exciting. But so spent a lot of time with them during that album. And then we launched our third album, which was the Mosaic album, also at St. John's Square. I'm not sure if it was Mandela Square yet. In fact, I think it was. So we, and James came out and joined us, well, some of the members, for our launch at Mandela Square. So that was an incredible time. So yeah, great guys, just like super funny guys. You know, they're just... I mean, I love British humour, so spending 5 minutes with them is just hilarious.
And what was it like? How long were you in the UK for?
Well, on and off for a few years.
Okay. You know, what was the music scene like? I mean, there's a pub on every corner and there are musos playing in it. And, you know, you obviously walked, it's like New York. You walk in there and you think you're a good guitarist until you walk into a blues bar or something.
But yeah, absolutely.
Any bands that you saw there in small venues that nobody knew and all of a sudden you were sitting next to this guy? Have you got some nice stories to tell us? Any famous people you met?
No, nothing like that, unfortunately. But I remember seeing Stereophonics, which has turned out to be one of my favorite bands, at the Hammersmith Apollo. I just couldn't believe that guy's voice after 2.5 hours of belting out this really gruff sounding pitch perfect voice was quite scary to watch. So since that day, Stereophonics have been a great, a big favorite of mine. But, if you want to talk about the big boys in the music, it's sort of, I spent a bit of time in Nashville as well. And, that was something special to see.
I mean, they live for music there 24 hours a day. That's all they know. And there are just so many musicians on the streets, wherever you go. I mean, the buskers even, you go, wow, man, that guy's cool. Or that girl sitting on the corner there, what an incredible voice. I'll sign her now. And I mean, some of those miracles happen to musos. But sitting there like passenger, he was out here in South Africa. He was busking in Australia and in the UK for quite a while as well after his band split up. So, Nashville must have been amazing. Who did you meet there? Any famous people?
But I'm just trying to think of this very, very famous country singer that...
Kenny Rogers.
No.
He goes to bed at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. You know, but it's the type of place where you can walk into a music venue and you'll be sitting there having a beer, watching this insane band playing. And next thing, they call up someone from the audience and up he stands. I'll get his name just now, and I'll just shout it out.
Waylon Jennings.
And he stands up, and he's wearing his tracksuit, you know. And he gets onto the stage and starts singing, and he's sort of like a multi-million selling country artist, you know, and these guys are everywhere. Every person you talk to is involved in the music industry, whether they're in management, agency, record companies, singers, writers, musicians. It's crazy.
Did you go to any of the big concerts in Nashville? I mean, I think every weekend they've got these massive concerts, and it's jam-packed with country fans, but country music's changed a bit now. It's a bit more country rock, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think that's still that trad, that trad country is still a big thing out there, you know, and it'll always be there. It's sort of, for me, it's such a massive grounding, you know, for music worldwide. It just sort of makes sense to me. And in fact, our new album has got quite a strong country influence in it. But no big bands in Nashville that I never spent enough time there to go. But when Watershed was touring Europe extensively in the sort of mid-2000s, we used to go and watch some big concerts in Belgium and a lot of those big summer festivals, which we were performing on at the time. So you get to see some huge bands, some huge names. You know, I remember watching a show in Belgium called Rock Vechter Festival, and the last four bands were, I think it was The Pretenders, were fourth from the end. Then it was Counting Crows were third from the end. And then after Counting Crows were Coldplay. And once you've seen Counting Crows and Coldplay, which are two of my favorite bands, you sort of think it can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Because they just get better and better. So the headline band, R.E.M., walked onto the stage.
Wow. Mind-blowing.
And it was, so I saw Counting Crows, Coldplay, and R.E.M. in a row. And each band just got better. And Michael Stipe is my absolute hero. And it was just amazing to watch.
Any other big bands that you opened for in South Africa? I know Counting Crows. That must have been a highlight.
David Gray was another one.
David Gray.
The Cranberries. The Cranberries, I remember, was in, it must have been 2000. The Cranberries were out here. And Watershed hadn't even started, man. I think we had a song on radio, which was Shine On Me. And next thing, EMI, the record label, got a call, and because I think Cranberries were an EMI band. That's how it sort of works, you know. If an EMI band comes out here, they'll generally try and find an EMI band to support or open for. So that was quite a big thing for us because we hadn't even built up a fan base. We had we had Shine On Me on radio. But I remember playing Shine On Me to the audience, and people were singing that chorus already. So they'd heard it on radio, and I think that was a big time for us. 15,000 people after the most people you've played to is sort of seven. You know, so it was quite a big jump for us. But yeah, we've had a couple of opening slots. I think there's a time when you sort of need to get on with it. You've got to get on with your job as a band. You know, we ended up touring Europe for many years around Indigo Girl success and Letter success and Live Another Day success. I see you played Lovely Day earlier. That was actually quite a big song for us over in Germany and Austria and Switzerland. So because of all that success, we ended up spending a lot of time there. We'd move over to Germany. We'd live in a house for 3 months and literally tour and do the big summer festivals for 3 months.
And you also appeared on Top of the Pops. I mean, you had to go there because if your song charts, you have to go and sing the song in front of a live audience. Did you mime the song or was it live?
The thing with those massive TV shows, it's all mimed, unfortunately. But I can see why. It sort of can't go wrong. You know, you're playing to millions of people are watching, and it's the only way of it really happening and happening properly. But I remember on our particular Top of the Pops, it was Celine Dion and Ronan Keating and Watershed. So it was those three bands. It was quite cool.
So Celine Dion was on the same stage as you. And backstage, how long did it take for her to do her makeup? Like 2 days before she went on stage?
Yeah, I remember she insisted on getting there 2 days before the rest of us.
But did you meet all these mega stars backstage? What were they like? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, we were all walking around with wide eyes, and it was just crazy for us. because it just happened. I remember driving, I don't know if anyone knows the Circle in Craig Hall. You know, you go down, I think it's Buckingham, and you get the Circle, which if you turn right, you head off to Parkhurst, and you turn left and you head to Hyde Park. And I was going through that Circle when I got a call from EMI to say Indigo Girl is just blowing up all over Germany and all over Europe, all over Austria, and you got to pack a bag basically and get over there. So it was just that buzz that just hits you, you know. And then off we went, and we were doing all these shows suddenly, and Top of the Pops was freaky to just sort of do, you know.
Mm. And then you know, obviously you love South Africa. And, you know, things could have carried on there for you. I mean, touring. And what that big decision to come back to South Africa, we're going to find out about that in just a moment. But I also asked you to select a couple of South African musos. We're going to talk about some of your favorite South African musos, like this one.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon.